you can stand on your feet as we honor the word of the Lord. Daniel chapter number 10. I'm just going to read a few of these verses to you. Daniel is a prophet, and Daniel has seen a vision, as it's labeled in my Bible, of the glorious man. And he doesn't understand what he has seen. So he goes to fasting and praying to seek the Lord for understanding. So we're going to read right in that moment where he gets a breakthrough. Daniel chapter number 10, we'll start at verse number 10. Prophet says, "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words.'" You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. "I have come because of your words." And if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jude, which is one chapter just before the last book of the Bible, of Revelation. But turn with me to Jude. Hallelujah. Once you got it, if you can say amen. Jude. We'll read a few of these verses here to begin. I'm going to start in verse number 3. It says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Verse number 4, "For certain men have crept in unaware, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our Lord into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Jude goes on in this letter to describe the generation of apostates or apostasy, or people who were heretical, people who had twisted the scripture. And so Jude, he finds himself, as we just read there at the onset, his original desire was to write them an encouraging letter about their common salvation, you know, to boost their morale, to strengthen them with some, you know, good, sound, encouraging words. "Come on, buddy, you can do it. Just keep going, endure, and the grace of God will carry you on through." But then, in light of the culture of the church, he says, "I found it necessary to write to you, to warn you, to admonish you, to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." And again, throughout his letter, he depicts the scenario of all of these various types of false teachers. And then, if you would, after he gets through describing them, he gets to the response, which is appropriate. And if you would, look with me to verse number 20. And he says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction, but others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." And that famous benediction that we often read and quote, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." I want to speak to you this afternoon from this subject that we glean from the scripture, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. the response that Jude gives the believers is to not go tit for tat, not to get on Facebook and argue, but he says, you, beloved, keep yourself in the love of God. Pray in the Holy Spirit. And if we have never had understanding of prayer, now is the time to get it. Amen. If you've never had an understanding of how urgent the call to prayer is from God, now is the time to open your heart and say, God, teach me how to pray. Amen. If you don't figure anything else out, learn how to pray. You may never be a miracle worker. You may never be a prophet. You may never be a worship leader. You may never be a preacher. You may never have $1 million. You may never teach Sunday school, but learn how to pray. Amen. The greatest thing that we can do is pray. Amen. Prayer is not just a means to an end. It is the end of all the means. All right, when we preach the word, when we cast devils out of people, when we ask the Lord to set captives free, what is that unto? It's unto bringing forth a people who learn how to communicate or commune with God. Another way to describe that or define that is prayer. And I believe that God around the world, through many preachers and teachers of his word, through writings, through conferences, through music, the agenda, the purpose right now, one of the main objectives of the Holy Spirit is to call the church to prayer. And to pray in the Holy Spirit. This is the remedy for false doctrine. This is how you keep from falling away. It's to become a man or a woman of prayer. There are people bound by the devil in this room. How do I know it? Because you don't have a prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life, it's because you're bound by the devil. Well, you say, well, I don't have no demon in me. Well, you're empty. Best case scenario, you're filled with nothing. Because when you get full of the Holy Spirit, you become an intercessor. See, this is not a ministry for the prayer people. They're not churches that have a really strong emphasis on prayer. Prayer is the emphasis for every believer. This is what Jesus said that Father's house would be called. He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. What God is building in the earth today is a house of prayer. He's building us up. Ephesians says that we are being built up together for a dwelling place for God. God is calling us to prayer. And this past week, we again, so wonderful. Thank God for it. Thank God for everyone that was baptized. But the Lord in prayer spoke to my spirit. He said, that's not where it ends at. You need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is a separate moment, perhaps, from the moment you said yes to Jesus, or maybe it is in the same exact moment, but this is a phenomenon that everybody should experience. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, all I need is faith in Jesus. You cannot even have faith in Jesus unless you receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Philippians, it's that God's Spirit is working in us both to will and to do. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't live a holy life. If you walk after the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You cannot walk after the Spirit unless you receive the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Which means if you have not received the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. The Holy Spirit was given as an earnest, as a down payment on the future redemption of our glorified body. The Holy Spirit is the seal of our salvation until the day when we see Christ Jesus perfect, high and lifted up, and we become just as he is. Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to follow Jesus. So we need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, the scripture says that you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Which means that if you don't receive the Holy Spirit and pray in the Holy Spirit, you won't have faith. Why will many people's faith fall in the hour that we're living in? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And they're not praying in the Holy Spirit. I know I'm talking French to people today who don't pray. I understand that. I get it. I've been doing this long enough to know how it works. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't even comprehend the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to the carnal-minded man. The Holy Spirit is what reveals the counsel and the purpose of God to your spirit. Unless you have received the Holy Spirit, this is just words to you. And that's how urgent we need to receive the Holy Spirit. On Wednesday evening, the Bible study was about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I personally have always believed that, and I've mentioned it in the messages here and there. I'm not sure how many times I've ever really done a message on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe once or twice in the last 6 years since I've been doing this. But the Lord said, I want you to read through the book of Acts, and I want you to see the biblical plan of salvation as it is recorded in the scripture. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own experiences. Don't lean on the theological viewpoints of your favorite author, teacher, or TV preacher. But look to the word of God and see what is the biblical plan of salvation. You know that God has a plan to save you? It begins with Jesus coming into our world. It culminates with his resurrection from the dead, and then we by faith access the grace that's available, but we still must work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. With fear and with trembling. Meaning that this view of once saved, always saved is not biblical. Well, you say, well, I'm saved by grace and not of works. I can't lose my salvation. Here's the truth. If you don't finish, you never started. If Jesus started it, he'll finish it. That's just a simple way to get past all the argument over that. If you don't finish the finish line, you never began the race. So it's not so much that you even lost your salvation. It's that you never had it in the first place. Because everything that's born of the Holy Spirit bears the fruit of the Spirit. Everything that's born of the Holy Spirit walks in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, there ought to be some evidence. And I'm not just talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not just talking about prophesying or having 3 weeks worth of zeal after you get baptized. I'm talking about becoming like Christ. That is the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, is to conform us to the image of Christ. And so when you see people who find it easy to go out to the nightclub, easy to watch things on TV, easy to fornicate, easy to do all these things they used to do, they're not saved. It's not that they lost in salvation or that they're a carnal Christian or they're a baby Christian. They're not a Christian. And I was unwilling, because of our culture of, you know, easily offended people, to say that stuff. But this is what, according to the scripture, I see. Now, if you want to find a Bible verse that disagrees with what I'm saying, then I'll talk to you and we can wrestle through scripture. But you will be hard pressed to find scripture that backs up the excuse that you can live any kind of way you want or that you don't need the Holy Spirit. You find an example from the Bible and show me anybody that came to Jesus and went back to living the way they were living. No, when Jesus comes into people's life, everything changes. Everything. Did it change your life? You don't get halfway saved and eventually all the way saved. And people say, well, salvation is a process. No, no, no. Holiness is a process. Children of God, from day one, when you put faith in Christ Jesus and your heart is quickened, you who are dead in sin are made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. From that point forward, you grow in your holiness and your understanding of the word and your understanding of all the deeper things of God, but you never enjoy sin any longer. The Bible very clearly says that he who sins is of the devil. The Bible very clearly says that you are of your father. Jesus said this to the Jewish people. He said, you are of your father, the devil, because you do the will of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and you seek to kill me. That was the point Jesus was making, that you can't find salvation hereditary. You can't find salvation because you grew up in the church. If you've not been converted, you've not been transformed, you've never been saved. So you haven't lost your salvation because you backslide for 20 years. You didn't backslide. You were never high enough to slide back. So the real issue is you've never been born. And again, I said, God, I want to just find out from the scripture how this works. It's called the ancient paths. Jeremiah cried out for the ancient paths. In Jude, he says that we are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for and all delivered to the saints. And I want to ask you, when was the last time outside of this church or this ministry that you heard anybody on TV or the radio preaching about the wrath of God right now on the sons of disobedience? When was the last time you've seen a mega church pop up in this country where the preacher preached about the death, the resurrection, and the coming judgment? You don't find it. What you find are churches that pop up all over the country, and their basis of gaining people to come into the church is programs. I'm all about programs. Bless God for children's ministry. We have a great one that's on its way up. I bless God for small groups. I bless God for whatever little innovative idea you may have to bring people into the house of the Lord. But I'll tell you, it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. What profit is it to us to gain a whole city into a building on Sunday and y'all are in here waiting till you get home to go back living in sin? That ain't a church. That's not a house of prayer. That's a Christian social club. You can join the YMCA for $35 a month. That's not what Jesus shed his blood for. And so Jude says that we are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The Holy Spirit's role in the world. Jesus said when he comes, he shall convict the world of sin because its deeds are evil. He'll convict the world of righteousness because I go to the Father, and of the coming judgment of God. Did you know, when was the last time you pondered the reality of the coming judgment of God on this country? When was the last time you really thought about the judgment of God that begins in the house of God? The sifting of the wheat and the tare at the time of the harvest. The separating of the sheep and the goats at the judgment seat. There's a line that's being drawn in the sand. And I'll tell you again, according to the words of Jude, the only way to protect yourself from the false doctrine in the lying spirit of this age, the Antichrist demon that's at work in this world today, is to build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It means to become an intercessor. You say, well, that's just not the type of person I am. Get saved. I was not this type of person. Anybody who knew me before I met Jesus knows what kind of person I was. But when I came to the Lord, he changed me. And if God hasn't begun to change you and God is not rearranging you, then you don't belong to him. He doesn't save you and then put you on a shelf and leave you to your own devices. When God grabs a hold of your heart and you surrender your will to God, he instantly, as we preached about again on Wednesday night, he begins demolishing the walls of your heart, tearing down the high places of your heart. Suddenly, idol worship and all the vain things of this world lose their appeal. You have no choice but to be changed when you meet Jesus and when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I've been sad about this. Partly what I'm crying up here is the beautiful tears in a sense. I see the bride, okay, amen. But there's a sadness in my heart. Because I know so many stories I've seen and I've baptized so many people who went down in the water and came up exactly the same. All week long, every single day, from this past Sunday through this whole week, I've been in the sanctuary praying for the people who were baptized by name. And again, I'm not targeting them and accusing them of anything. But what I'm saying is that there's a war. You guys understand this today? There's an all-out war for your soul. There is an enemy for your soul. There is an adversary who roams about like a lion to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And he's waiting in the bushes for you. Did you know that? Have you forgotten that? You know where he waits? He waits in the confrontations of your marriage. I'm not going to go there today. But I'm telling you, you guys think of the devil as the boogeyman that's flying around in the sky with horns and with a cape and with a pitchfork ready to throw at you. No, the devil is lurking in your relationships. And I say this to you by the Spirit of the Lord. Some of you have opened the door to Satan to destroy your family because you don't relate to your wife right. You don't love your wife as Christ loved the church. Some of the wives, you do not honor and respect your husband as unto the Lord. Children, I'm telling you, this is stuff that grieves the Holy Spirit. This is why you don't get breakthrough. This is why there's no favor on your life. It's not because God is mad at you. It's because you're out of order. When the Holy Spirit comes in your life, he comes to bring order to your life. He comes to conform you to the image of Christ and to the Word of God. And if these things aren't happening in your life, you need to begin to cry out, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I need a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit once or twice or as many times as you need to be. And I pray that we live a lifestyle of being immersed in the Spirit of God. The word baptized, it just means to immerse, to dip, to plunge, to sink, to go under. That's how we ought to live, under the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a place that you can get to in God when the Spirit of God takes control of your life that temptation loses power. I'm telling y'all this by the Spirit of God. Some of you have been fighting temptations that you actually, by the blood of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, can have victory over, but you settle for a lifestyle of confession every week. God says, don't confess the same sin every week. Get delivered once and for all. Get filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in authority over your flesh and over the devil. You can do that through the Holy Spirit. But too many of us want to settle for an altar call experience. Listen, today, if you respond to this altar call, may it be the last time you confess the sin of pornography. May it be the last time you confess bitterness and envy and jealousy. May you go on to perfection. The Bible says that the path of the just shines brighter and brighter, even unto the perfect day. That means that you can go from glory to glory. I know I'm talking extreme for some people, but this is biblical Christianity. This is the faith which was once and all for all delivered to the saints. This is what you don't find on TV. This is what you're not going to hear on the radio. You know why? Because this doesn't gain supporters. This doesn't get tithers to come to the church. This offends people. This has people sitting in a seat, listening to the message, already decided I'm not coming back next week because they're the evidence of what I'm saying is true. And I'm telling you, because I don't care about the material things, I don't care about any other things, I'm going to tell you the truth. I love Jesus and I love you just enough to tell you the whole truth so you can be saved by it. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And I want to see you set free. I don't want to preach to enslaved people who show up at church. What a tragedy to sit in church every week still bound. Yes. By the power of God, be set free. Yes. Praying in the Holy Spirit, that's how you do it. That's how the yokes are destroyed. There's no substitute for prayer, people of God. Amen. There's not. Amen. There's not. There's no band awesome enough to rebuke the devil. There's no great speaker who's great enough to rebuke the devil. The access of the power of God that we have through prayer is how we bind powers and principalities. And how many of you, just raise your hand and say amen or something if you want to become an intercessor, a person who knows how to pray. Raise your hand. I want to know who I'm talking to. If you don't want to do that, then you know, I can recommend some places for you to go find some friends. This is a church that God is building. We're not here to have friends. Thank God we have friends. But there's a real war raging in the world today. And God is calling for the church around the world to take their place. I don't want to be the pastor of people that want to waste time and dishonor God and just show up at church. This is not the place for that. Friday night, before we prayed, I asked the Lord specifically, I said, God, I'm not really, tonight, not tonight, God, not the crowd that comes here just to check out what's going on. I heard about this Hope City place. Let me go check it out. No, not tonight, Lord. Bring two or three who have a burden in their heart for the things of God. That's who we want to pray with. And I asked the Lord, only bring those who are here in that reason. When the prayer meeting started on Friday night, I said again some of the things I shared with you this morning just to preview how we would enter into prayer. Very holy moment. And I asked the question, I said, if you don't feel, this is no judgment being passed, we're not here to point out your sin and tell you you're not saved, but if you're not here and your heart's not for the things of God, I'm going to ask you to leave. Somewhat to my surprise, about 15 people left. That's, I believe, the fear of the Lord. But I tell you, that's the place it's getting to where, see, Jesus, if you study the life of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus, I was so blown away this past week as I was studying the life of Jesus, how frequently he walked away from crowds. He was never into the crowd, ever. Not one time where he was he worried about his public relations team or his marketing scheme. He never gave one thought to it. He even looked at his closest disciples and he said, will you leave too? Yes, sir. He said he didn't give himself to men for he knew what was in the heart of men. He set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. He knew his purpose and why he came, and he kept on going. And I say that that's the type of spirit we all need to have. We need to remember and understand how holy the life that we live in Christ really is and what this is all about. And I'm praying the same thing today. The Lord in prayer said, teach them and talk to them this morning about praying in the Holy Spirit. So there's a few points I want to make. If you would, go back. I'm going to reread to you Jude chapter 1 verse number 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You can stop there. Three things happen when we pray. Number one, there is an internal change. Some people say, why do we pray? What is the significance and purpose of prayer? Why should we pray? Well, if at least somebody's praying, isn't that good enough? Can't God respond to one? Why do all of us have to pray? But what many people fail to realize is that prayer is God's gift to you.
Yes.
As a chamber of transformation. When you enter into prayer, internally you are changed. Some people don't understand the persistency of prayer. Why does the scripture tell us to keep asking and seeking and knocking? Why does God not just answer when I ask him the first time? Is he playing hard to get? Is he playing hide and go seek with me? Is he trying to hide just so that he can have fun with me? And there are people who've grown jaded in their heart against the idea of prayer because God did not answer their prayer in the moment they wanted their prayer answered. And we'll be honest, all of us have had that question before. Raise your hand if you've ever wondered, God, what's taking so long? Why are you still not answering this prayer? God, I've been asking you to do this for the last 10 years. I've been asking you to save my brother for the last 9 years. I've been asking you to save my son, my daughter, my grandchildren for the last 3 years. Whatever it is that you've been asking God to do and you don't get an instant result, the natural man in mind wants to say, why not now? Because in the world that we live in, everything functions with an instantaneous result. If you log onto the internet, you expect to be able to access it right away. If you go to McDonald's, order some food, you give them money, you expect to receive food right away. It's called the microwave generation. If you want some soup to be warm, you put it in for 1 minute and you eat it. It's warm. And we're conditioned for instantaneous results, but not so in the kingdom of God. Because whenever God does anything, he does things on multiple levels. And what you come to realize in prayer is that the result of your prayer, the answer to your prayer, is not why God put you in the place of prayer in the first place. See, what happens when you come into prayer, number one, you confront your sin nature.
Amen.
When you come into prayer, when you get frustrated that it doesn't happen right away, what comes to mind? Hear me now. When you come into prayer and your results don't happen right away, you're confronting your own impatience. And through persistency, God is making you patient. When you come into prayer, your faith is revealed. It's not so much faith after all. Because after 2 days, you don't get what you want, you draw back and become a Buddhist or an agnostic or an atheist. That just shows that you never have faith in the first place. So sometimes God allows your prayers to be what we would think are delayed or denied so that you can grow in your faith. And it's what births desperation. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That, okay, perfect example. God, I just found out loved one has cancer. God heal them. Doctor report comes back, they still got cancer. You're getting worse, actually. Next time you pray, you're standing on the word. Lord, your word says that by your stripes we are healed. And Lord, I ask you to heal them of cancer. Report comes back. No improvement. At that point, most people distance themselves from faith in God's power to heal and subscribe to new doctrine. Call on God to heal today. Because your experience was not what you thought it should be. So now you have a whole new belief system because your experience didn't line up to how you thought or how quickly you thought it should happen. Now here's what also happens. In some cases, and I've seen God heal people of cancer many times, but I've also prayed for people and they died of cancer. In prayer, no less fervent, no less fasting and praying, no less anointing people with oil, but yet results are different. In prayer, my faith is established that God, whether you heal in the dimension of time or not, I trust that your word is true and that in the eternal dimension or the eternal realm, they are healed now because in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy and sickness cannot dwell in your presence and I'm okay with that. But most people are offended because they didn't get the result in the time frame which they wanted it in. And so now they either don't believe God at all, pretend to believe in God, keep showing up anyway, but they've lost faith. When you go into prayer closet, more than likely, God is going to have you praying for something which is very difficult. I was driving through the West Side the other day after I went to see my wife on her job. She works in an area that's known as the Bottoms, one of the worst parts of Columbus. I'm driving through these back roads, and I just see these people wandering in the streets. I mean, if you've ever driven through the Bottoms, how many of you know where that's at? There's probably many places, I'd imagine, around Columbus similar. But the Bottoms, it just feels hopeless. Just to be quite honest with you, I'm driving through the streets like, Lord, I don't even know. It would be a supernatural miracle to see anything happen here. The houses are, I mean, it's one of the worst environments I've ever seen. It almost looks like a third world country in certain streets. I'm like, wow, Lord, how? And the churches are falling apart. I mean, it's just, and then the invitation of the Holy Spirit, but will you be a witness? And then even praying like, God, I honestly have to be honest, my faith is weak right now to believe you to transform this community. But God, I'll by faith agree. Amen. So what's happening when you go into prayer, if you respond the right way, God will birth hope and your faith will be strengthened through even resistance in prayer. Does that make sense to you all? When I'll give you a personal example of how I was delivered through praying. When I first gave my life to the Lord, my flesh wanted to always rise from the dead. Anybody ever had a resurrected flesh or attempt? Scripture warns about that. But when you're not being discipled and when you're not attending church faithfully and you're kind of trying to do your own thing, it's only a matter of time. When you're not feeding your spirit, man, it's only a matter of time. And I remember dealing with lust, like it seemed to be impossible to overcome. And eventually I said, oh, maybe I should start going to church regularly. Eventually start going to church regularly, get baptized, get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then at this church I was attending in Youngstown, Ohio, they said, you need to become a man of prayer. The church is open every morning for 6 a.m. prayer. And if you want to be a child of God, you need to walk with God. You need to be at the prayer meeting. Now, mind you, I had had my Pentecostal experience. I came out the water speaking in tongues. I had the devil cast out of me. But in the prayer meetings, and usually wasn't nobody there but three or four church mothers, right, on the altar at 6 a.m., no cool music playing in the background, just crying out to God, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I was scared. I'd walk in there like, I don't even know if I'm allowed to be here. I sit in the very back, and I just started like talking to the Lord as best I knew how. And through my times of prayer, I found victory and power over my flesh. Internally, I was changed in prayer. The reason why many of you may not experience a transformation, even though you've answered the altar call, is because you have never disciplined yourself unto godliness. Prayer is disciplining yourself unto godliness. Two key ingredients to be a holy person. You need to read the Bible and become a man or woman of prayer. If you remove those two ingredients from your life, you won't become holy. You will fall back into sin. But see, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit inside of you yearns for the things of God. So even if it's a weak yearning, the Holy Spirit will say, get to prayer, get to the Bible. Something inside of you is going to begin to desire those things. This is how you check for signs of life. If you have no desire for prayer, if you have no desire for the Word of God, you don't have the Holy Spirit of God. When you receive the Holy Spirit, the evidence is hunger for God. The evidence is a love for God. The evidence might initially be for some people speaking in tongues, but I don't believe that that's the evidence for every single person, because I've seen a whole lot of tongue-talking people who live like devils. And if you would have kept me in my little apostolic box that I was exposed to early on, I wouldn't stay that way, but I've seen a lot of tongue-talking devil people that are no more free than anybody else in the streets. You can talk in tongues all day long. It does not matter if you have no hunger for the things of God, if you have no zeal for the house of the Lord, if you're not growing in your desire for holiness, you have not received the Spirit of Christ. If your parents or your grandparents or your cousins or your friends have to drag you to church, no, you're not saved. I don't know anybody that could be saved and blood washed and understand who Christ is and then have to beg them to come to church. That's not a Christian. So what we have by and large in this country is a bunch of people who masquerade in the church. They're not saved. And it's going to take somebody that's been in prayer, puts their heart next to God's heart, that comes from prayer with boldness to declare the word of the Lord and be unashamed of the gospel. This is how the apostles turned whole cities upside down. Because they went out in the streets and they preached another Lord. They preached that Jesus was Lord. Not Caesar, but Jesus. And they told the whole city, repent of your sins. And the city was converted. And that's what God is calling for in this day. So internally a change happens when you pray. Number two, there's the impact in eternity. Prayer is the best way you can leave an inheritance for your children. We think of an inheritance that we leave for our children, we always think of money. Praise God if you leave money for your children or grandchildren, or a house or a car. But the greatest inheritance you can leave is a life of prayer. Do you understand how the generations coming behind you will benefit from what you left them in the spirit realm, the realm of eternity? I believe this with all of my heart. If it was not for so many of our praying grandparents and great-grandparents, we would be lost. You may not have a great relationship with them. You may not know them. But I believe that God hears the prayers from generations past. And when the enemy comes in and seeks an occasion to steal, kill, and destroy, he looks at the record of intercession. And if he can find agreement anywhere in the family line that gives him occasion to deflect the fiery dart or stop the plan of the enemy, then the devil can be rebuked. But without intercessors, there's no deliverance for future generations. And most people think of their prayer life just for the here and now. When you pray, it goes into eternity. It's outside of time. So that's why even though you might be 20 something years old right now, if you give yourself to prayer, you might not even have kids, but the generational curse will lose its power and lose its impact. It will have no authority in the generation coming after you because you pray. But if you spend your time in the world and watching TV and obsessed with material things, you're putting curses on your children by default. Because there is no neutral zone in the realm of the spirit. That's why I say that most people don't understand this. They think that intercessors are the really spiritual people who preach or lead the service. No, your children are going to be the result of your prayer life. They may go off and live in foolishness for a season or two, but if there's, I promise you this by the word of the Lord, if there's intercession on the record, they will have an opportunity to seek the Lord and find him. God will do something, get their attention. Your prayer can't force them to be saved, but if you pray, God will show up and deal with them. I'm telling you this, if you think about this, think about, and nobody really thinks about these kind of things when they read the Bible, but think about Saul of Tarsus, who we know as Paul, correct? What does he say? He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. The tribe, I believe it was, of Benjamin. He was all these great things. Now, you go back and look at Benjamin. You go look at the tribe of Benjamin. Somebody was praying in the tribe of Benjamin at some point. Y'all don't catch what I'm trying to say. But it's like this in Malachi. It says, and those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and a book of remembrance was written for them who meditate on his name and fear him. So there's a book of remembrance in eternity when you pray. The fuel for your intercession has to be more than just the here and now. If you're only praying for, Lord, I need a new job. Lord, I need to get married. Lord, I want a better job. Lord, I don't like my car. Can I have one with leather seats? If that's your prayer life, you have not even understood what prayer is all about. When you come into the holy place of intercession, you ought to be thinking about how this impacts the realm of eternity. Going back to Daniel chapter number 10, Daniel said it's hard to understand. And the angel comes to him and says, from the moment you set your heart to understand, the command was sent, and I have now come because of your words. In other words, your prayers. If Daniel would have never gave himself to prayer and fasting, he would have never got a revelation of the encounter he had. Some of you have had these encounters with God. You've had dreams. You've had experiences in service, but you never gave yourself to prayer and fasting, so you don't even understand why you fell on the floor last Sunday. You don't understand why you had the dream last night and you saw all these wonderful things. You don't even comprehend what God is trying to do because you don't give yourself to prayer and fasting. You'll say, well, that's just for you guys over there on the west side at that one little... No, 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 no. This is the faith that was once for all delivered. And when you get yourself into a life of prayer, I'm telling you, everything begins to change. Some of you are fighting battles right now you would never had to fight if you would have gave yourself to prayer. Some of you can stop fighting the battle today if you give yourself to prayer. The greater is he that's inside of you than he that's in this world. Some of your minds are so bound by the devil and unbelief and false belief system, and it's all because you have not given yourself to prayer. And you got to ask the Holy Spirit, God, make me a man or a woman of prayer. There is no shortcut. You want to be a powerful man of God. And what I mean by that is not a famous preacher or singer, but one who walks in power over the devil in the flesh, whose children after him are blessed. That's a powerful man or woman. If you want to be that, you got to say, God, I'm going to come to you in prayer and seek him. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. It's going to be challenging. You give yourself to a life of prayer and you do what Jude says there. You pray in the Holy Spirit. You will be fought by demons. Your flesh will fight against your spirit. Oh, but you're going to have an unction. You'll have power and authority. Some of you have, and I'm saying this as the Spirit delivers this to me. Some of you got business plans. You've got aspirations. They were birthed in prayer. Came from you seeking the Lord. You were sitting down one day, maybe talking to God, reading your word. God began to download a stream of ideas to you. The only way it will manifest is if you get into prayer. The very thing that birthed it is the thing that will bring it forth. So you think that reading self-help books or getting the right people connections or learning how to market yourself or learning how to understand it. No. You need to be in the prayer closet if you want your dreams to come to pass. In prayer, dreams are birthed. I hope I'm not telling you too much for one day. I'm going to move on to the next point. Lastly, the third thing that happens when we pray is that there is invisible warfare. Daniel couldn't see what was going on in the heavenly realm. If you continue on in Daniel chapter number 10, if you go through, I believe, verse 13 through about the end of that chapter, so he talks about the demonic realm, about the angels, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, and there's warfare going on in the heavens. Daniel is down there praying and fasting. He has no clue what's happening up above his head or in the unseen realm. And a lot of times we don't understand what is happening when we pray. Friday night, we didn't have a music plan. We didn't have a band up there. And for most of the prayer meeting, I wasn't even praying on the microphone. It was just us in there. Now, if you're a casual observer or an outsider that's kind of coming into that, you look at that moment, you say, what is going on in this room? These people done lost their mind. What? You could do a whole lot better things on a Friday night than come in a sweaty, stinky room and pray. But see, when you have an understanding of what's going on in the invisible realm, you realize that there are wars that you're fighting on behalf of people coming after you, and through your intercession and your crying out to God, you're defending others in prayer. You're fighting the good fight of faith in prayer. There are demons that have been sent to take people out of Jesus' hand. There have been demons that have been sent. And only because of Jesus' prayer can the devil not pluck them out of his hands. The Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. The Bible says that he's our great intercessor. This is how spiritual warfare works. Without intercession, there is no victory in the realm of the spirit. Do you hear what I'm trying to say today? When you get into the realm of the spirit and you begin to pray and you even worship, because in a sense, worship is a form of prayer. At some point, they overlap. Some people say, are we worshiping right now? We're just singing. But no, you can have music in the background as you pray. Because at the end of the day, the Lord is only hearing our heart anyway. So it doesn't matter if we call it worship or if we call it prayer. God is translating our heart at all times. But this is where warfare is fought. This is where strongholds are pulled down. This is where powers and principalities are wrestled with. Do you hear what I'm saying today? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The addiction that you have to pornography will not be overcome by an accountability partner. The addiction that you have to alcohol will not be overcome by an AA group. The power of the Holy Spirit that you tap into in prayer, when you yourself stir yourself up and build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, that's where the victory is wrought. If you are sitting there today and you are bound by the devil, you will not get breakthrough unless you cry out to God, unless you get into the realm of the Spirit and begin to pray. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. What happens in intercession? You take captive the thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And that's why some of you, when you go into prayer and you're in the prayer closet trying to focus, the bombardment of thoughts are coming. bumping against your mind. The thought of this is a waste of time. Or I don't know how to pray. Or maybe I'm just faking this. The devil, in the moment you get in the prayer closet, he starts aiming fiery darts at you and saying, I'm going to stop them. I'm going to distract them. I'm going to cause them to have confusion. Whatever I can do. Because I know if they could ever focus on the throne and understand the power and the breakthrough that's coming through this prayer, that they're going to be mighty and victorious. And I don't want that. So let me stop them in the outer courts. Let me stop them at 8:55 when the Holy Spirit said, get in your car and go to prayer. Let me send distractions on their path the moment they get here. Let me let that phone start blowing up and ringing. Let me have somebody give them some bad news right about 9:35 when it's time to go pray. Let me get them distracted and caught up in the hallway talking about nonsense at the time of prayer. Let me do whatever I can do to get them to not pray, because if they pray, my kingdom's coming down. And he's aimed all of his weapons to stop you from prayer. You can go out and witness. Go out there. Go out there right now. Go to the gas station and tell somebody about Jesus. You don't even have power unless you've been in prayer. You don't have compassion unless you've been in prayer. You don't have an anointing unless you've been in prayer. If you don't pray, you can't touch God. If you don't pray, you don't enter into the realm of the Spirit. And this is where the war is fought. This is why the church in America can pop churches up on every corner, but yet the inner city still lies in ruins, because there's no change happening in the spirit realm. You can build another building. You can install another preacher. You can put some more chairs in the room. You can call it a church, but unless it's a house of prayer, it's not a church. And if God isn't building it, it's the work of the flesh. And the devil's building churches these days. But God is raising up a kingdom in the house of prayer. And that's where you've been planted. That's what you've been called into. That's why there was such a fight against you coming through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why you were molested as a child. That's the reason why you were abandoned and rejected and forsaken, and everything in your life seemed to go wrong. That's why you've always had struggle, because the devil knew if he could stop you before you had a revelation, he would be victorious. But God has given you power and given you victory. So even all the things you've been through through life, nothing can stop you. And here you stand at the best moment of your life, ready to say yes to God, ready to answer the call to prayer, and the devil is up against the ropes. So that's why I tell you, when God calls you to pray, don't take it as a light thing. Don't think this is something you do to be a faithful Christian. This is how we advance the kingdom of God. This is how the generation after us is blessed. This is how a city's going to be saved. And this is what's going to welcome Jesus back to this earth. Hallelujah. How many of you understand what I'm saying today? How many of you want to see the Lord high and lifted up? You want to see his kingdom come. You want to see his will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. If we aren't praying and we aren't fasting, if we're not mourning for the bridegroom, then the kingdom's not coming. They say, well, where is the promise of his coming? And I say, before we ask where Jesus is at, let me ask you where the intercessors are at. Because until the church begins to pray and long, and the Spirit of God grabs hold of you, and your one thing, the thing that you desire most in life, is say, oh God, I'm longing for your kingdom. Until you live with eternity in view, Jesus ain't coming back. You know why? Because he's coming back when the bride's made herself ready. And until the bride gets into the transformation chamber of prayer, she's not going to be ready. And we're so worried about growing a church. Who cares about who shows up at this church? Who's going to show up at the throne room? Who's going to show up before the judgment seat of Christ arrayed in fine white linen? Who is going to go into the realm of the Spirit and by faith call forth the sons and daughters of Africa, of Europe, of South America, the sons and daughters of Asia, and say, come to the banqueting table that's been set before you in the presence of your enemy. God stands ready to anoint your head with oil. You were called into his kingdom out of darkness and into light. Who will live with that passion and not need a microphone? See, that's the invitation. It's not a special calling. It's not a unique calling. It's the calling of the redeemed. This is the purpose that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that you can become holy and long for the things of God. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak or declare to you all things which belong to me. He'll make them known to you, for the Father has given all things into my hand. He will not speak on his own authority. And I'm telling you today, by the word of the Lord, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, all you've got to do is ask. Through my words today, I pray that you understand whether or not you walk after the Spirit. Maybe through my words today, you understand whether or not you have received the Spirit. If you don't line up to the definition of a Christian of the Scripture, you have not received the Holy Spirit of God. You're on the verge of entering the kingdom, but you haven't crossed over from death to life yet. And God says, all that can change in one moment. Everybody on your feet. All that can change in one moment. Yeah. All that can change in one moment. Jude said we are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And I'm telling you now by the word of the Lord that God is calling some of you to come out of bondage. Hear this by the Spirit. Don't get distracted. God is calling some of you to come out of bondage. God is calling some of you to come out of compromise. Come to Him in your broken state, your weak state. Come to Him just as you are, in need of deliverance, in need of the Holy Spirit of God. You can become a new creature in Christ. Go out of the sanctuary the way you came, and hell awaits you. But if you would humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord, I need to be saved. I need to receive your Spirit and the power to live a holy life. I don't want to gamble my soul on a doctrinal disagreement. I want to say yes to the Bible. Yes to your word and to your word. God alone will I say yes. God says today, if you would harden not your hearts, but say, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, if you need to do that, just begin to talk to the Lord. Young man, your addiction to pornography can be broken. Young woman, you're finding peace and solace in the bed of fornication. For every man that you hope to replace the father that you lack, God can give you a peace that passes understanding. You don't have to trade your birthright for momentary satisfaction. In the name of Jesus, you can be set free indeed. Everybody lift your hands and close your eyes. Don't look at me. Talk to the Lord. And I'm telling you this, as we're praying today, I want you to pray in the Holy Spirit right now. If you've not received the Holy Spirit, come up to the altar. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, come up to this altar. We're going to pray for you and believe God to fill you with the Holy Spirit today. In the name of Jesus, come out of your seat. Come right up to the altar. Line up across the front. Raise your hands up to God and ask the Lord to fill you. Luke 11 says, if you, being evil, know how to give the gifts to your children, how much more will not the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? He is the keeper. He wants to keep you from destruction. Just lift your hands up to the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, you've never given your life to Jesus, completely surrender your life to Jesus, I want you to come and raise your hands and just stand at this altar. Ministers, get in position. We're going to pray for you. Praise God, Bobby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Terry, can you come pray here with Bobby? Hallelujah. Anyone else? There's many of you are in this room. Don't let these words pass you by. Bring those children in. Hallelujah. And everyone else, pray in the Holy Spirit for just a moment. Can we go in the realm of the Spirit? Some of you have conviction. I can see it all over you. Some of you have lost heart. Some of you have lost hope. But God says through the power of the Spirit, He's going to cause hope to abound. The thing that you gave up on, God never gives up on. God says, I want to give you my Spirit today to restore your hope. Open your mouth and talk to Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. Somebody at this altar's life could be transformed. And we believe it will. If you're here again and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you're here and you've just been coming to church because somebody dragged you to church. Forget about those people. Forget about it. And say, Jesus, I'm coming to you myself. This is a day of deliverance for you, says the Lord. For those of you that once maybe had a life of prayer and you were baptized in the Spirit, you can remember a time when you had a burning passion in your heart for God. Is that anybody today and you seem to have drifted backwards? God says, I want to restore unto you the joy of salvation. You come up here too. We're going to pray. You got to, by faith, come out of that place of comfort. And God says, today I'm going to restore the fire to your spirit. The fire of the word of God, the fire of the things of God. God says, today I come to quicken you. Today I come to remove the hardened places of your heart. Today I come to remove the rejection that you dealt with. Get them in here. Hallelujah. If you're here and these words are applying to you, once and for all, make your decision to surrender. The desire came from God. The wrestle comes from your flesh. Pick that up, Jeremy. I want to sing the increase of His government. We're going to declare the righteousness and the reign. I want everyone to stand on their feet. And as we worship, come forward. If you know today that you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, if you need to receive the filling, the baptism of His Holy Spirit, get out of your compromise and your lack of passion, and today be set ablaze. Don't leave this sanctuary now. Don't leave this sanctuary with a form of godliness denying the power. Don't leave this sanctuary with liquor still underneath your cabinets. Don't leave this sanctuary with marijuana still in your glove box. With phone numbers in your phone to fornicate. I tell you, if you want to be free, you can be free. How many of you believe that God can set you free? By faith, we give God the glory today for your deliverance. And those of you praying for them, pray in the Spirit of God, rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. I want you all, just for a moment, I want you all to stretch your hands toward these here at this altar. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, God, for a biblical salvation today. Lord, we're asking you for the ancient gospel, the path of salvation that martyrs walked on, that the apostles tread, that you laid out in your word. Father, we ask you today for redemption. And everybody, come on, lift your voice unto the Lord and pray in the Holy Spirit. Understand the power in the name of Jesus. Our God is not dead. We're going to sing this song, and as we sing it, everybody sing along with it, worship with us. And as we sing this, the atmosphere of deliverance is going to manifest, and chains are going to be broken, but we're going to need your help. So worship team, sing it with faith. Sing it with authority.
I'll be free.